there's going to be war, he'd move him somewhere else. God spoke to Abraham. The greatest favor he did for him was to move him from home where his family was trying to trip him up. And it's usually your family that's going to mess you up. Did you know that? Your family. First thing you ever read about that man that left us the legacy that we have through Christ, that great blessing of Abraham to the minority, he was a minority. You don't believe it? I'm going to show you here in about a minute and a half. He was in a vast minority, may I say. Not in the vast majority. And the first thing you read about that fella is over there in the 12th chapter of the book of Genesis, and it says, God spoke to Abraham and said, Abraham, he said, here am I. He said, get up out of your father's house and move to a land that I'll show you up. And there I'll bless thee and make thee a mighty nation, and all families in the world will be blessed if you'll obey me in this manner. I'll bless all the families in the world. Now, that didn't mean that thing would come on you just automatically, that there was a possibility that through your obedience, every family can partake of the same blessing that you're receiving. Every family don't get it. Why? They're faint-hearted. All right, let's go over here and find out something here about this great man Abraham in Psalm, the 105th chapter. Psalm 105. Verse 6. O you seed of Abraham, his servant, you chosen of Jacob, you children of Jacob, his chosen. He is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth. He hath remembered his covenant forever, the word which he commanded to a thousand generations. Abraham got that covenant. Which covenant he made with Abraham and his oath unto Isaac, and confirmed the same unto Jacob for a law, and to Israel for an everlasting covenant, saying unto thee, will I give the land of Canaan the lot of your inheritance. When they were but a few men in number, God's minority, and God looked after them. I'd rather go to God's court of justice than I had to fool around with men in the majority and say, oh, I know the judge. I know the sheriff. I know me a good lawyer. I know the banker. I'd rather know him and him know me. That's the problem right there. You may think you know him, but does he know you? When they were but a few men in number, yea, very few. Oh, that remnant is few. And here they put that adverb, that qualifying adverb in front of it. When they were but a few men in number, yea, very few. And strangers in that land that God directed him to. When they went from one nation to another, from one kingdom to another people, God was watching. He suffered no man to do them wrong. Yea, he reproved kings for their sakes, saying, touch not mine anointed, and do my prophets no harm. He called for a famine upon the land. He brake the whole staff of bread. He sent before them even Joseph, who was sold for a servant. They hurt his feet with fetters. He was laid in iron until the time the word came. The word of the Lord tried him. The king sent and loosed him, even the ruler of the people, and let him go free. He made him lord of his house and ruler of his substance, to bind his princes at his pleasure and teach his senators wisdom. Lord, have mercy sakes. God was looking after that little minority that was floating around that little flock. Fear not, little flock. Don't be afraid of the majority. It's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom if you'll sell what you have and give alms and lay up for yourselves a treasure in heaven. Get you some bags that moth and rust don't corrupt and where thieves don't break through and steal. For little flock, here's your problem. I want your heart to be after me continuously. I want your heart to be filled with my love. I want your heart to be in my hands, that I can turn it, that I can fill it with the right desires, that you're reaching, praying, hoping, seeking the best things in life that I put in your heart for you to obtain, not for something you want, but for what I want you to have. I want your heart open to me. So therefore, sell that you have and give alms. Provide yourself. themselves bags that wax not old. A treasure in the heavens that faileth not, where no moth corrupteth, nor thief can approach. For where your treasure is, that's where your heart's going to be, Jesus warned. Now, if you want to be in God's little flock, that's the way it's going to be, or else. And that else depends upon your decision in this matter, to be in the minority. Jesus said in Matthew 22:14, many are called, but few are chosen. Lord, have mercy. Not the many are the ones that's got God with them, that God is using, that's walking by faith, that's exercising their prerogative to be dogmatic for the Word of God and for their stand of faith in God. No, that's not the group, the big group. No way. It's that small group, that remnant that God talks about from cover to cover. That remnant. A remnant means a little piece from a bigger old piece that you started off with. A little edge, like a carpet. You get a, see in the store, they got a big old roll of carpet. Then when they get down to those little pieces, they go in there and you buy a remnant for clean your feet off, or a little piece to put in your bathroom or something. You go there for remnants. That's a little piece or corner cut off of a bigger chunk of material, or out of a group of people, there's a little group that comes out of it God calls a remnant. And through the Bible, God talks about that holy remnant that he separates and brings out of the majority, or the big part of the whole that was the beginning. And I'm going to tell you one thing. God's people makes a tragic mistake most every time. They will not separate themselves from those that are trying to cause them to turn back on God, or to deny the faith they have in the Word of God, or continue being dogmatic for what they know is the difference between the clean and the unclean, the holy and the profane. My God, every time you turn around, there's somebody trying to turn you back instead of trying to help you. That's what Paul the Apostle was warning about in 1 Corinthians 4:15, when he said, though you have 10,000, many instructors in Christ, yet have you not many fathers. In other words, you have very few that will be a father in the Lord to you. A father means he'll be responsible for you. A father means he cares for you like his own children. Each individual Christian is preferential in his sight and gets preferential treatment because he recognizes the work of the Holy Ghost and the work of faith in a person's life. And I'm going to tell you something. I can identify with a Christian that's got real faith in God. And I tell you, this here talking about faith, I don't go for that mess. I look for it. You can tell faith a mile off. People knew Abraham had faith. Everywhere he went, the Bible said he walked through that land of Canaan by faith. Read it in Hebrews 11. One of our forefathers, one of our forebears that held the torch high. All his 175 years, that man was faithful to God. And the Bible tells us by faith, Abraham, he forsook the land that he was born into and went following after the way that God directed him to. Not thinking about the present, but thinking about the future. For the Bible said he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker was God. He lived in tents or tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him of the same promise. He counted the salvation of his family. He didn't count the acquisition of material things and money and all of that mess that Christians today get swallowed up by. In perdition and destruction, God says in 1 Timothy 6:10-12, it swallows Christians up today. All they think about is saving their money, instead of trying to save God's man and God's work and to keep it active and strong and just as much as possible to keep it before the people. The message is the important thing. And that's the way that God operates, is by faith. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are only temporal. But the things which are not seen are eternal, praise God. That's why you put your money in heaven. God said, sell what you have if you want to be in that faithful remnant. He wasn't talking about selling your bed out from under you either. Your home. He's talking about selling your or giving your surplus. And that's always been, the early church practiced it. And whenever God deals with a person, that's the first thing when he wants to get you in that march of faith, in that lineage of the faithful followers and those that have been the ancestors of Abraham in that faith of his, then we likewise have to do as that early church did. The Bible tells us here in the third chapter of Colossians, verse 26, you're all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many as you have been baptized into Christ and put on Christ, there's neither Jew nor Greek. There's neither bond nor free. There's neither male nor female. You're all one in Christ Jesus. And if you be Christ, then are you Abraham's seed and your heirs according to the promise. Verses 13 and 14 of that same chapter says, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is every one that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. And God talks again and again and again of the blessing of Abraham. And I'm going to tell you something. God trusted Abraham because Abraham fully trusted God, even to the offering up of his son. You read back there in the Lord have mercy, in the 18th chapter of the book of Genesis, how that God there with two angels was speaking. He said, are we going to hold back from Abraham the thing that I'm preparing to do on Sodom and Gomorrah? And the Lord spoke to the angels continuing and says, I'm going to have to show Abraham the thing that I do, because I know Abraham. I know him, that he's going to be faithful, that he'll command his children after him to walk in the ways of the Lord, that they'll not miss the blessing that I've promised to him. And he called Abraham off to the side and began to tell him of the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities around about. And in that city was the family of Lot, his nephew and Lot's family. His children and his grandchildren were there. And there's we hear the intercession of that great man as he cried out before God, will you destroy the city if there's 50 righteous? The Lord said, no. Will you do it for 45? No. Will you do it for 40? No. Will you do it for 35? No. He said, oh, let the Lord be angry, and I'll speak yet once again for 30. Will you do it? The Lord said, no.